All right, I am ready now. So, because we had a special speaker last week, Rami Danielli, I gave the short Torah teaching last week. And there was a concept that was introduced in our Torah portion last week that I didn't get a chance to really speak about it and develop it because of the short time that I had doing the Torah teaching. So as I said this morning, we're in Devarim, we're in the last book of the Torah. But so last week we were at the end of the book of Numbers, and in chapter 35 they gave a very specific instructions are on the Are Hamiklat. Are Hamiklat are the cities of refuge. So that's what I would like to speak about this morning. So let's go to our first scriptures, Numbers 35, verses 9 through 15. Got a bunch of stuff. It's small font, so I'm going to move up. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you cross the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall appoint cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the manslayer who kills any person accidentally may flee there. They shall be cities of refuge for you from the avenger, that the manslayers may not die until he stands before the congregation in judgment. And for the cities which you give, you shall have six cities of refuge. And you shall appoint three cities on this side of the Jordan, and three cities you shall appoint on the other side of the Jordan, in the land of Canaan, which will be cities of refuge. These six cities shall be for refuge for the children of Israel, for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that anyone who kills a person accidentally may flee to that one of those cities of refuge." And then, like I said, it's detailed. So then what happens is the instructions continue. They continue all the way to verse 34 of Numbers 35. And the entire book of Numbers ends with this line, Numbers 36, 13. "These are the commandments and the judgments which the Lord commands the children of Israel by the hand of Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho." And so that is a little familiar here, and we'll talk about it towards the end of the message, but it's by the hand of Moses. And so this is how Numbers ends there. Cities of refuge. Are Hamiklat are not sanctuary cities. I want to get that clear this morning. They are not sanctuary cities. Like too many U.S. cities today have set up. These are cities that were set up by the Lord. And these are cities for accidental or unintentional acts. In this case, if someone is killed, accidental or unintentional. So notice on that last verse, Numbers 36:13. Is the scripture that we sing a little bit of, because when we have our liturgy, some of the liturgy is word for word of scripture. Other portions of liturgy are scripture, but the sages have put some portions together. They took a part of a verse from this book and a part of it, and they put them together so that we may have a few different thoughts together in our portions of liturgy. So I just want to point that out this morning. It is when we present the Torah, and it's right before we put it back into the ark. So Arei HaMiklat are repeated in the next week's Torah portion also, as we continue on Deuteronomy. Once again, the cities of refuge are repeated. What are we reading then? We're reading about the three cities that are on the east of the Jordan. You see? And so we find out a lot about these cities of refuge. Deuteronomy 4, verse 41 through just 41 and 42. Let's look at a couple of those scriptures here. Then Moses set apart three cities on this side of the Jordan toward the rising of the sun. So the sun rises in the east, so we know that it's the east of the Jordan. That the manslayer may flee there who kills his neighbor unintentionally without having hatred, without having hated him in past time. And that by fleeing to one of these cities, he may live. You know, I say this every once in a while because it's true. When you see that God puts something in the Word of God, especially if it may seem to be so insignificant to people, and he repeats it, and he gives details on it, there's something there, right? There's something there. Otherwise, you know, many times people just pass by it. Cities of refuge. Okay, we got six of them. One on the one side of Jordan, one on the other side. That's it. And even though we see it a few times, but we are always to, when we see God repeat something a couple of times, he wants to get our attention, then we should go back and really look at those things and say, what does he want to tell us about these things? What was he telling Israel? Was there something greater than just being a city of refuge when someone unintentionally or by accident kills someone? Cities of refuge were a place where someone's actions produce death. However, their hearts were not intent on murder, but there was death that results. So really, commandment number six is, thou shalt not, usually you hear, will thou shalt not kill. It's not thou shalt not kill, it's thou shalt not murder. Because there's a difference between murder. Murder is premeditated. Murder is when you do something out of hatred, even if it's not, even if you do it instantaneously, that's murder. Killing is if someone dies as a result of whatever, you see? And so even if your actions cause death of someone, it's not murder if you didn't choose to end that person's life. But, you know, to some people today, they may say, it's breaking commandment. It's sort of like our unintentional sins, isn't it? It's sort of like when we sin, and we didn't mean to sin, and we didn't even think that we were sinning, but we were sinning. And we do this all the time. And we have to be aware of it. We may not have sin on our minds or even in our heart, but we sin. And let's face it, there are 613 commandments in the Torah. And even, and this is one of the, I want to use the word faults, the faults of thinking that following Torah, we will earn or get our salvation. Because we can't follow all of those 613 commandments, no matter how hard we try. This is one of the things in Orthodox Judaism as an example. They can't follow all of, and God says, if sin is sin, if you sin, if you break a commandment, it's like breaking all the commandments. And so 613 commandments. We sin because there are a lot of commandments and we can't, we don't even know what most of them are, really. We sin because we're not in the land. There are commandments that you can only do when you're living in Israel. And because you're not living in Israel, any of us, we're sinning because we're breaking those commandments. Because we can't fulfill those commandments. Because we're not living in the land. We're not intentionally sinning, but because of who we are, and we can't do that. It's a matter of intent, and it's a matter of attitude, and it's a matter of actions. And so by the very nature of some of the commandments, we are sinning. See, God's word describes the cities of refuge in those details because they might even be considered, in a way, a central lesson of the entire Word of God. They might, in a way, be considered something that tells us about His nature and who He is as our God. So, let's look and see. First of all, Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, for some of our visitors today, Rav Shaul says something in Numbers 3:20, and let's go to that. And actually, I have two versions. We have the New King James, and we have the Complete Jewish Bible, because we get a little bit more information from the Complete Jewish Bible. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So not only because it is so detailed and immense that we can't follow all the law, but also because of its what it is, it points us to the fact that we do sin. And then the Complete Jewish Bible says, therefore by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. For in his sight, no one alive will be considered righteous on the ground of legalistic observance of Torah commands, because what Torah really does is show people how sinful they are. You see, so it does have this dual purpose. It shows us how God wants us to live our lives. There's an order, there is justice and order and compassion in that. It shows us how to live, but at the same time, it's pointing out to us that we can't fulfill all of it and that we are sinners. You see, so in a sense, one of them is fulfilling our physical universe and needs. And in the other, It's fulfilling our spiritual universe and needs. You see what I mean? One shows us how to live here. One shows us we need something greater than just here. We need something in the spiritual universe, in the spiritual realm. And that is pointing us to the fact that we are sinners. We're born into sin, and we sin each and every day. And that's basically what he's saying. By the Torah, we unintentionally sin. But Shaul wants us to be aware that we're doing it. Okay? Look, we know that the number seven is the number of completion. You know, when, and I can give a couple of examples. I'll give a few of them, but we could go on and on and on, you know. But God's number is represented by number seven. Shabbat is day number seven. It's the day of completion. It's the day of completing the week. But it is the day of rest. And we know that God's day of rest in creation was day number seven of creation, where he rested. So we are doing something that God gave us to do that he did at creation. And that's number seven, day number seven. Creation was completed on that day. However, and so we see the number seven so often in scriptures, and we get, aha, look at that, seven, 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 all is significant. But we look at these cities of refuge, and we have six cities of refuge. Only six. If they were so good and complete, how come there weren't seven of them? But God gave us seven, and he gave Israel seven, and there was in detail, because, and he repeated it, and he talked about it in his word, and he talked about it to the children of Israel, because he wanted to teach them something from the spiritual realm, and he wanted to teach them about his nature and who he is, not only in the physical, that he has compassion for people, but also in the spiritual realm, which would be much greater. So I think that the scriptures suggest prophetically that there is a seventh, so to speak, city of refuge, a final city of refuge. If the number seven is a final number, a complete number, that there is a complete city of refuge by its absence of not being that God gave Israel a seventh city of refuge. And that seventh is, in the same way, and I've spoken about this, maybe it's a few years ago, but I spoke about the completion of the seven miracle births that are in the Bible. The first six are in the Tanakh, in the Old Testament. I'm not going to go through all of them this morning because of time, but there were six miracle births in the Old Testament, the Tanakh. And the seventh miracle birth is in the Brit Hadashah, in the New Testament. It is Yeshua's miracle birth of a virgin. That's the completion of the miracle births. Well, in the same way, the completion of the cities of refuge are completed with Messiah Yeshua. The completeness of the picture. He is the place that we are safe from our unintentional sins. Aren't we? Because we sin every day. Even if we don't want to sin, we can't, because of, even if it's just because we're not living in the land, whether a Jew or Gentile, we are sinning each and every day. It is unintentional sin. Yeshua, however, by the blood of Yeshua, we are in a safe place from our unintentional sins each and every day. Torah says the wages of sin is death. But it's because that Yeshua took our place that we can live each and every day and hopefully live long enough until the return of Messiah. He is our city of refuge. Just as a person needed to enter into that city of refuge, they couldn't stand outside that city of refuge. If the city of refuge was here, and they were here, well, technically they could have been caught and killed. If the family of the neighbor that was killed saw him, they could yank him and kill him. But he was, if he was in that city of refuge right here, the family knew he's in a city of refuge and he's safe. They couldn't do him. They couldn't touch him. In the same way, we need to enter into that city of refuge that we know as Messiah Yeshua. We have to take that step. We can't say, well, I was raised in the church. My mother and father were believers. No, you got to take the step. You have to take the step. And so in the same way, we must take that step and enter into Messiah Yeshua. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
So let's go back to Numbers 35. We'll look at a couple of verses here, 12 and 15 here. They shall be cities of refuge from the Avenger. Who knew that the Marvel comics would have had... who would have been in the Bible. They shall be cities of refuge for you from the Avenger, that the manslayer may not die until he stands before the congregation in judgment. These are six cities, and they shall be for refuge for the children of Israel, for the stranger, and for the sojourner among them, that anyone who kills a person accidentally may flee there. God is showing us prophetically, not only showing us the Messiah that one day will be our city of refuge, but he is showing us the enemy, Satan, is the Avenger and he wants us dead. So we, in the city of refuge, we are in a city of refuge from the Avenger. In Messiah Yeshua, we live, and we live eternally. Yeshua is the city of refuge for all, for everyone. That is what God was showing also prophetically, that this Messiah Yeshua, even though we say he's the Messiah of Israel, he was born a Jew and he died a Jew. Yes. But he came for everyone, Jew and Gentile. Just as the city of refuge was not only for the children of Israel, but for the stranger within the gates of Israel, or the sojourner that came and sort of came with Israel and said, let me go with you. I want to go on this trek with you to the promised land. It was for Jew and Gentile alike. Matthew 11:28, my last scripture. Now we go into the Brit Hadashah. Yeshua says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all of you. The rest of the final and complete city of refuge. That is our complete and final rest. It is in Messiah Yeshua. And it's for everyone, the Jew and the Gentile, in Messiah Yeshua. God has this wonderful way of right way back in the Torah telling us something that we can not only read about 5,000 plus years ago, but experience it and enter into it in our lives, in the physical, in the spiritual realm, in our lives today. So we are citizens of that wonderful, complete number 7 city of refuge. So let's just end in a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you. It is your grace by your grace and mercy, that we can find true rest, as Yeshua said. That we could find protection from the avenger. And it's something that no one can steal from us. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father. Our prayer is that more and more people, that our friends and our families, no matter what paths they have taken in life, throughout their years, or even what they're doing today, that they will have the truth revealed to them. Not just this little truth of the cities of refuge, but the greater truth that Yeshua is the Messiah of Israel and the nations. And we find rest, and we find protection and everlasting life through your Son. And so we praise you this morning in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Praise you, Lord.